Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off this Wednesday with Sean Broderick. He's an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, I want to look at a wide range of commodity sectors and individually analyze where you think they're going and if you see any opportunity in some of the underlying stocks. Let's start off with energy. Oil, more specifically, because oil has been running higher this week. We are going to get some news out of the OPEC Plus meeting, but overall, oil has been benefiting from this, I guess, a post-pandemic trade or this whole vaccine news where maybe we will be getting back to some sort of normal life a little bit sooner than people expected. Whether you believe it or not, the markets are a bit more enthusiastic about this trade, and that pushed oil up to right around $45 a barrel. It has come back just a slight bit. Sean, what do you think about some of the opportunities in oil stocks and even the underlying oil price?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. There's lots of bearish news. I mean, OPEC is at odds with itself. They just lowered the forecast for global economic growth. That's according to the OECD. And like stuff like that. And yet oil keeps zigzagging higher. We are seeing a pullback from recent highs, but that looks like a bull flag to me. So I'm long oil and oil stocks, I should say. And I just added another one to my gold and silver trader portfolio. There are some dirt cheap bargains. If you don't think the price of oil is going lower, if you think it's hit a bottom, then, yeah, this is the time you'd buy. And even though they've run up in the last month, I mean, look at how some of these things are trading at a discount to their price to book and stuff. I mean, you shouldn't buy them necessarily for the dividend anymore because they might cut those depending on what happens. There's a lot that can go wrong. I mean, this rollout of the vaccine may not go as planned and like stuff like that. But people are betting on the future in oil. We are seeing some really good developments future-wise in that. And so, yeah, oil's heading higher. And so oil and gas, I mean, we're long in that sector. Now I got badly burned around the middle of last year, I think. So it's been a while since I've been in here. But now, why shouldn't I be in oil? I mean, it looks good right now. And again, we can argue about the fundamentals. They aren't there now, but, you know, the market looks at the future. It always does. And right now, the market likes what it sees.
So, Sean, where are you focusing within the sector then? Is it on these producers? And also taking into account that a lot of these companies do carry fairly large debt loads, how closely do you watch that when you're analyzing companies?
Absolutely looking at the debt, and it can't be crippling. And I like companies that are working on lowering their debt. Some actively are, you know, they've announced that's their big goal, not to do more drilling, but to lower their debt loads. And I think that in this environment, that's probably a smart thing, because you could go with one that says, well, I'm not worried about the debt. I think prices are going higher. So we're going to invest in, like, you know, doing a lot more drilling, but they have to be right. And you can't always be right. So I'm looking at the independent energy producers. I think there's really a lot of potential there. We also have one refinery. It's really kind of a crazy thing. Now, I say this at the same time, I'm also investing in lithium stocks simply because those are, you know, really heating up too. They're having a pullback right now, but I just think that's going to lead to another buying opportunity. So I'm actually feeling good about energy. We saw economic activity suppressed for so long, nearly a year. And when people can finally move around and do the things they want to do, you're going to see some explosive moves in there. For one thing, anyone who hasn't gone on vacation probably wants to go on vacation. I know I'm itching to take my wife on vacation. You know, we've been stuck in the house for quite some time. And we just saw China, when it opened up internal travel to its people, nearly 500 million people hit the road. That's nuts, you know, and it's what, like 1/8 of the population. So I think that we could see some tremendous energy use next year. We aren't there yet. And so I'm just getting positioned for it because that's what the market tells me that it wants to do.
Yeah, fair enough. Let the market dictate, right? That's one of the most important things. Don't try to fight the markets, especially over the last few years when the markets have really disconnected from underlying economics. But hey, there's a lot of money that gets pumped into the system, and you need to note where it is moving. Quick other comment regarding an energy sector. What about uranium, too? Uranium has been creeping higher, but still seems generally stuck in its trading range, unable to truly get that push higher that we have seen in some of the other commodities. How do you view uranium?
Yeah, isn't that a constant disappointment? I mean, we have Cameco in one of my portfolios, the Supercycle Investor portfolio, and it hasn't gone anywhere since May. You know, that's a long time to be waiting for some action, especially when uranium analysts, those people who are really in the thick of the center, say, this is going to move any day. This is going to move any day. And it doesn't. I mean, and like I have Energy Fuels, my own portfolio, that moved higher last week and then stopped. No particular reason why. So it's a very frustrating industry to be investing in right now. I think you can make money easier in some other places. I still think you want to be long it, because when it does move, it'll probably be an explosive move. We've been told that uranium has this tremendous potential that is going to, you know, pay off sooner or later. So I think you should be long it, but just tuck away some good ones and not worry about them, and just check them, you know, 3 months from now and see how that looks.
Now, how about some of these other commodities like base metals? Base metals, you look at something like copper, that is just continuing to move higher and confirming this breakout. Nickel's even been moving higher. Zinc's been doing decently. What are your thoughts on the run in base metals?
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be long copper producers. You know, I mean, we are seeing new growth in China. Even if you think that the U.S. will be at political loggerheads for the next 4 years, which is, there is a potential of that. And so we don't pass any infrastructure bill, even though we badly need one, and like stuff like that. The rest of the world isn't going to wait. You're going to see just huge growth from that. And again, it's been long suppressed spending. We'll finally roll out on all sorts of things, not just infrastructure, not just electric vehicles, but just ordinary consumer stuff is going to really bring a lot of copper demand to the table. Nickel, which is also an energy metal, by the way, you know, same thing. That's going places. Steel can do extremely well here. I'm long a couple of steel companies. So I think that you definitely should be in the industrial metals game, because what the market is telling us is really looking for some really good economic growth next year, because it was suppressed all of this year. Next year, you know, you're going to have a lot of that come back. And one sector that will really do well is industrial metals.
Now, Sean, you look at the underlying, let's say, copper stocks. Those haven't done all that much, especially considering what copper is doing in terms of its breakout. Is that just the stocks going to play catch up here soon, or do we need to be a little bit worried, at least in the short term, about this copper breakout?
Well, they have moved some. I mean, if you look what Freeport's done since March, you know, that's a heck of a nice move, right? It's up, 350% from its lows? So, but yeah, I know the smaller names haven't moved as much, but as long as you get in early, you have some nice gains, right? And and at least what history tells us is every time this happens, because the miners are leveraged to the metal, they play catch up eventually, and then they leap beyond it, because, you know, the more the underlying goes up, the wider their profit margins go. And so, I think that, yeah, we haven't seen as big a move as we want, but that's fine, because there are still plenty of people out there that don't believe in the recovery. They actually think things are going to get worse. So it takes some time for those people to come around. When they finally do, we'll see things blast off. And then you and I, because we're already on the sector, we'll start taking gains, hopefully, if we're smart enough to do that.
Where are you focusing then in terms of some of these companies? Because there's not very many exploration companies to focus on. So how are you balancing out where to put your money?
Yeah, I really favor the producers, because it takes so much energy and effort and money to bring a new project online. You know, I mean, the small ones can work out extraordinarily well when they work out. they can also dilute themselves to oblivion, and then what are you going to do, right? So I tend to look at the producers, smaller and bigger producers, just to have that cash flow in there and also the leverage to the underlying metal. And now, again, for the really big gains, you would want to look at explorers, and I understand that completely. But I just I want some leverage in my portfolio, but I don't want to live and die with every bump in the price of copper. Because even though copper just went up to a new peak yesterday and then went up again today, you know, even though that happens, it is going to go down. You have to understand that, right? I mean, everything zigs and zags. And so you can wait till the next pullback to buy. You can buy now as long as you have a stomach to understand that there is a pullback coming at some point. So I tend to favor producers, but I can understand why people buy explorers as well.
Yeah, fair enough. You do get that extra torque on some of those explorers, but again, they're fewer and far between. Sean, what about precious metals? Let's talk about that, because, well, we saw bouncing gold and silver yesterday. Gold had been under a lot of pressure. Same with some of the gold stocks, although the argument was that the gold stocks were doing a bit better than gold at weathering this pullback. And the other aspect is that the pullback was very much needed for the precious metal stocks. What do you think about the precious metal sector, and do you think a bottom is in right now?
Well, I hate it when a metal makes me out to be a liar, right? And I really thought gold was going higher and the miners were going a lot higher sooner. And we had this compression, you know, that just happened, even though things were still scary. And in fact, we had fear building up. You know, gold peaked out in, what was it, August? And just went lower and lower and lower, just this gradual, slow, grinding decline. And the miners got hammered, you know. And so I was really disappointed, because fundamentally, I was looking at the fundamentals, and I'm there, this metal should go higher. And because the metal should go higher, the miners should go higher. And good thing is, you know, I took some gains back when things first started to turn over. Just because, you know, they'd had a nice long run since March, so it was just time to take some gains. But I was really disappointed by the action of that. That said, in the past few days, the end of last week and stuff, we saw the metal go down, and yet the miners would end up higher every day, just a little bit. But that's the kind of bullish disconnect I look for. That can be a real turning point in the market. Now, I have plenty of miners right now. I'm not in a hurry to buy anymore. So if the market is turning, this will be a great time to actually pick up more miners. I think that gold should be higher. Obviously, I've been wrong in the past. But it's crazy. With the dollar hitting 2.5-year lows, the dollar has been in compression now. I mean, since early November. And actually, since March, really. March was when it peaked out, right? But I mean, really, it's been on the slip and slide to hell starting in November, getting down to a 2.5-year low and then going lower again on Tuesday. So it's just like, oh, man, why isn't gold doing better? That really bothers me, because fundamentally it should be. Now, we know two places of investment fever that are kind of soaking up energy right now. One is Bitcoin, right? And the other is cannabis. Those two have really probably been attracting the speculators more than investors. Now, I'm glad to be a cannabis stock investor. Those stocks have been doing great. I'm actually feeling very good about that. But I know in my black little heart that some of this is just speculation, and it'll come and it'll go. And so I shouldn't get too attached to these things. I'm really happy to have triple digit gains, but you know, I mean, it is going to calm down at some point. So I think that the rise in those two things took some of the energy that we might have seen move into gold. That's my theory anyway. I mean, because when you look at things like negative yielding debt, it's over 17 trillion now, hit a new record, pushed through the last high. Negative yielding debt, that moved inversely to the price of gold for the longest time. Why isn't gold higher? this will bug me for quite some time and is one of the things that actually keeps me awake at night. That will not prevent me from investing in it. I think there are great miners right now, and in fact, some of my favorites are doing very well still. K92 mining, for example. I mean, that won't stop. That just seems to charge from strength to strength. I'm happy to be long that. So there's a lot of good going on. We had a compression for a long time. I know the market zigs and zags. It just, this last month-long compression didn't make much sense to me. If we're finally seeing that ending, then if we get back to a market that's more normal, maybe we can blame it on the election. I'm not sure. But if we're finally getting back to a market that is more normal, we will see the U.S. dollar go down, which it has been doing. It's in a big downtrend, and we'll see gold go higher.
Yeah, and once we get that inverse correlation, because recently it was the dollar and gold moving down together, and you outlined a number of reasons of why that was possibly happening. Also, just this kind of pullback in a fear trade, but not saying that that fear trade can't come back on pretty quickly here. Hey, Sean, great chatting with you, buddy. I'm glad we got to cover a number of different markets right there, and I look forward to chatting with you in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, you too.